Vashon. This is Dove Speaks. I'm Chris Austin, your host. And on the show today, we have someone who speaks for Dove, the executive director, Heidi Jackson. Welcome, Heidi.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So this is a pretty big, busy time of year for you, isn't it?
It is.
This is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. I don't have the wrong month.
You don't have the wrong month. October it is.
And I did a little bit of research on the history of Domestic Violence Month, and it was started in 1981.
It was.
So almost 40 years old.
You did your research. Good
job. Yes, my goodness.
I'm impressed.
I had nothing else to do. That's my show prep. One fact, and that's it.
Great.
I've done my job. So I know in the past you've had a lot of different events going on and some usually some stuff around town to kind of remind people, but that's probably all changed since some businesses are closed and you can't really barge into someone's office now and get them to help you out. So how has that changed? How's the pandemic hurt you, helped you, changed you?
Well, it's definitely made us have more of a fluid, kind of forced us to really have more of a fluid approach and to where we really are kind of, I think the phrase that is constantly used is building the plane while we're flying it. And we are, and as far as the services we're provided, we're constantly evaluating what's working, what's not working. We're talking to community partners, trying to find out what the needs are. So we are actually providing relevant services to needs that are happening and ever-changing. As well as with our fundraising, and then this month, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, this has shifted. Our annual Share Hope event is now going to be virtual and via Zoom. And so that has changed. But actually, all of the businesses uptown that participated last year in the Purple Lights campaign are participating this year.
Oh, wonderful. That is great.
Yeah, and they're actually being hung right now during this interview. So
how you got out of work.
That is how I got out of hanging the lights.
Well,
I was like,
done.
I've got an interview. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I can't make it. No, I will be joining them after this. But after tonight, every night the lights will be illuminated all uptown and showing solidarity of support for survivors.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you read every day in the paper about the uncommon stress that this has put on everybody, this pandemic. And I imagine that you're seeing that more than anybody else because you're kind of the go-to person on the island, the go-to community or nonprofit on the island to go to for any number of problems.
Right.
So have you seen that uptick? I mean, is that?
For sure. And our advocacy has looked a lot different. I would say that we are serving more people and we are also serving more people off island as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because the barriers, the water barriers are really removed because
with all the virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Our advocacy is virtual, and so as a Zoom, we can do a Zoom call with anyone wherever they are. And so we've actually worked with people across the nation who've called us.
Now, has that, in some cases, helped people get advocacy because now they can kind of communicate you without the person that their abuser, without them knowing?
Well, that's the tricky part, is finding safe ways for people to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, because of the social isolation and that most families are really working from home, if they have that capability, that puts everyone in the same home, which reduces the ability to really find safer ways to communicate.
So the abuser's not going off to work where somebody can get help. I see. Wow, that's...
And they call us when things are feeling drastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it difficult to find immediate services because services are saturated.
Sure.
And so it's it can be difficult. Right now, we're being told that housing requests are being filled, 54 requests to one filled.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, when you say housing requests, is that like a
emergency housing?
Yeah, like a women's shelter, perhaps, mm-hmm. something like that. 54 to one, my goodness.
Right. But in the same breath, I would like to say that we also have a lot more opportunities. Like, we have a relationship now with Extended America that we'd never had before, where they are giving us extremely discounted rates to house survivors.
Oh, wow.
A longer term.
Kudos to them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And there are more hotel vouchers that are available and becoming available for survivors, which is what the option is for Vashon.
Sure. And I'm sure those hotel rooms aren't full. They're not at capacity now. Mm-hmm. So why not do a good thing with them? Oh, mm-hmm. that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. It's exciting.
You know, and I think, you know, it's a lot of people think we live on Mayberry Island, where you know, none of these things happen, but they certainly do. And I know you've seen an uptick. Could you kind of give us a sense of what services the Dove offers?
Sure. Beyond advocacy, or what do you mean?
Well, I know that in the past you've had things like the Green Dot program, you've had the RAD training, you've had SAFE. Mm-hmm. What was it called?
Yeah, Vashon SAFE.
Vashon SAFE, yeah. So are those still continuing, or have they morphed into something else?
Yeah, so we have shifted some of the job responsibilities for some staff. So our advocacy is now really kind of a team of advocates. We've always had a team of advocates, but now it's more of a deliberate schedule where you constantly have backup.
Oh, that's
and,
good.
Because it's intense to provide advocacy in your home. As well as, you know, and especially when there's no separation, from, like, you walk out of your closed bedroom and then there's your family you just had a really intense phone conversation with someone. So, we've been we are doing this buddy system type of a support system for advocates. So that's required more staffing, but, it's also added the ability to have extended hours of advocacy. So, which is nice.
Oh, very interesting.
And to be able to provide that. As far as prevention education, our teen council is active. I think you talked to Maya a few weeks ago.
I did.
And that is the first time where we've had to actually turn kids away for being... we've had too many kids wanted to
you
be involved.
You're not worthy.
Yeah. We can only do 10 kids.
And it's a wonderful program. I'm so glad that's going. Cause that's just, and who enters it. And I wish everyone could that wanted to, but I have to say, I think once they're in there, they realize how hard it is. Maybe they're like, this is really hard.
It's a lot of hours.
Yeah. A lot of education.
Yeah. Lots of education.
Educate others, which I think is a great way to learn.
And for the first time this year, they're having to teach classes via Zoom. And how do they turn these really physically involved exercises mm-hmm. into something that it actually is compelling for kids to participate in?
Yeah, after the kids have already Zoomed math and grammar mm-hmm. and everything else, that's a tough one.
Yeah. So engagement is the big focus for Teen Council, and they're doing a great job. And we are really kind of in the our other prevention work with the lunch boxes that were in the cafeteria, and we also had Maya working with the coaches, doing athletes as leaders and coaching
another
boys
great
into men
program. I thought
right, and so all of those curriculum are really we're examining it. We're talking to community members and mm-hmm. just trying to figure out what it is that people potentially need and what gap of service we can really fill.
Yeah.
So we're still kind of in this drawing board stage for those programs.
Yeah. And I'm sure the schools are too. Like, they don't know what they need yet.
Exactly.
Because we haven't fleshed out how to get these guys back to school and haven't even got one semester of this done of how to
and really keep kids engaged.
Yeah.
I mean, who, I mean, the kids are tired of being on screen at the end of the day. And so saying, yeah. okay, join another on, you know, Zoom meeting. It's not very appealing.
Yeah.
And so, trying to think of ways to engage. I think that's kind of the update of our prevention programs. We are offering, DV 101, trainings for mental health therapists and caregivers.
Wonderful.
That has been well received, and that, and as a support for people who are providing support, help our helpers.
Yeah.
And we will be offering more of a deeper dive, domestic violence training, in November, with CE credits attached to that.
Oh,
so that will be good for practitioners. And we've had an incredible opportunity to work with the fire department. And in November, we'll be working with all the shifts of the EMTs and training them about serving DV survivors.
Oh my gosh, what a great idea. Because they're the first ones to see it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if they can know the subtle signs of, wow, where'd that bruise come from?
Yeah, there's a lot of nuances and how to safely ask questions and how to safely offer resources and how to assess when it is safe and when it's not safe.
Yeah.
To really ask those questions and provide those resources.
Yeah. That is a great program.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I wanted to kind of ask, you know, what you're offering, I want people to know this month of fundraising, what they're raising funds for. I've always said that people that donate to the Dove Project and similar nonprofits are some of the most altruistic people there are because they don't even know who they're helping. It's not like, I don't know, give to the fireman's fund. You know, you're helping firemen. Mm-hmm. But I will not ever see the person that benefits from my generosity. And I think that's a special person. How?
And nor will you hear the stories.
No, no. And that person going to be thankful for what you have given. They won't know you. Mm-hmm. But rest assured that this is it's such a vulnerable part of their life. What are the programs that you're going to do to kind of give a chance to people to give and be that very nice, altruistic person?
Yes. Well, Domestic Violence Awareness Month obviously launches today, as we just discussed. And we're beyond the purple lights. We have a theme of beloved community. And beloved community was basically a philosopher, an 1800s philosopher theory. And Martin Luther King Jr., basically popularized it in the 1960s with his letter out of the Birmingham jail. And it is basically the objective of nonviolence is to create a beloved world community, not by eradicating differences, but by affirming them. And Martin Luther King envisioned the beloved community as a society based on justice, equal opportunity, and love of one's fellow human beings. And the beloved community also describes a society in which all are embraced and none are discriminated against. And I, Bell Hooks, she wrote about beloved community, and I love her quote. She's like, "We must stand for justice, have recognition for difference without attaching differences to privilege. And we need to critically intervene in a way that challenges and changes."
It's interesting how old that thought is.
Right.
And still rings true today. I think one of the problems that people have right now, and I think this is especially might affect Dove, is everyone's torn everywhere. What do I attack first? There's so many crazy things happening right now, and you're one of those. I mean, you're trying to mitigate one of those crazy things. So you got a tough job, I think, ahead of you.
It's overwhelming.
To make your voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're helping is the end result of a lot of those issues
mm-hmm.
of racism, privilege,
mm-hmm.
And that often trickles down and ends up on your doorstep.
Right, as a root causes of violence.
Exactly. So that's kind of like maybe, I don't know, somehow you can make people feel good that, hey, if you're giving to us, you're kind of helping solve the problems all around us in a kind of secondhand way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think we have all been feeling a little beaten up, and the political landscape, the racial inequality landscape that isn't new news. It's just new to I guess the mainstream media.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
it's new that it's on the news.
Yes, it's new that it's on the news, and it's new that the entire nation is really standing up and saying we've had enough of this. And so, but these are really big mental constructs. It's like, how is a person going to even approach the idea of, well, how do I deconstruct social injustice in my life? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
What does that even, I mean, and it can be very intimidating. And so what we're hoping through this month is that we can really encourage people to really look around them and realize that there is a power in noticing the person next to them, whether that's in their relationship, in their home, or that's a person across the street, and that sense of belonging and that sense of inclusion is incredibly powerful, and people can take those small steps, and that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those small steps help build community resiliency, help build community accountability. And it's exciting to think about, because I think people are really ready to do those things and to make those small changes. And you don't necessarily have to be an activist on the steps of the Capitol to still make a difference in the lives of people right around you.
Yeah.
So we've been collecting stories of how, when people have been feeling either hopeless, and how small acts around them from people they didn't even know, or maybe it was someone they knew, but it was this unassuming action, has affected their lives forever.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's a small piece of advice, or it's a kindness that was expressed in the grocery store, or someone, you know, picks a box up that they had dropped. I mean, it's... those are things that, if people can really prioritize that in their lives, that observation, that willingness to go beyond themselves, even in just a moment, to do a kindness. I mean, you know, the old Coca-Cola campaign of like, pay it forward. I don't know if you remember that, but those commercials. But that's kind of the idea that we're trying to hopefully harness. And I think it can be pretty amazing. And so, yeah.
Well, I think we're seeing some of that in the sense of wearing a mask, right? You're helping stop spread the disease. You're protecting people you don't know. So that's the same idea, you know, do something not for yourself, but to protect others, or to help others, or to, it's just a simple gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if maybe build on just wearing a mask, you know, we're already doing that. And I think Vashon, more than most communities, kind of holds people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
We are so small that if you're going to go around yelling and screaming without a mask, everybody's going to know about it.
Yes, he will.
And
it's also a step towards dismantling some of these bigger social, structural and institutional oppression.
Yeah.
I mean, constructs that exist and that help keep racism, I mean, still going to this day. And
and that can be a daunting test. How am I going to fix racism? But just do something simple.
Do something simple.
Yeah.
And look around you. Notice what's around, right in front of you.
Yeah.
And we've been listening to stories of people, and you'll be seeing those on social media. And then some of the board members have been working on a video, and they're illustrating some of the stories, and it'll be shown at our event on the 24th. And one woman said, "I don't think people understand that survivors are but a glass vase that has been shattered and superglued back together, and it doesn't take much for it to just shatter all over again." And so, and she was talking about how someone had done something very kind to her. She needed a doorbell. Doorbell landed on her doorstep randomly by a neighbor. And it was just a small thing, but it was someone noticed that someone needed something and they provided it and it meant the world to her. The tapes that play when you have endured chronic long-term abuse, they're in the background, but they never really quite go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in times of unease and stress, like the pandemic has really kind of brought forth, these small acts of kindness can make huge differences for people.
Yeah. And I think you hit on it. The pandemic's kind of, everyone that was on edge is now over the edge kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're holding it together barely in the best of times, then this is really a stressor that foments those problems. So you mentioned, just so our listeners will know, you mentioned social media so they can find those on the Facebook, I imagine.
And Instagram.
And is there Twitter or?
Nope. Those are the two that we mainly use.
No TikTok?
No TikTok.
I'm kind of disappointed. Want to see some 45-second dove dancing. we can check that out. Website, of course, and that'll have a lot of resources. So what is the event on the 24th you mentioned?
Yeah, the 24th is our Share Hope event, and it will be via Zoom, and we have a keynote speaker, and I would love to read her little blurb about her. Scheherazade Tillett is a photographer, youth organizer, and an art therapist, and she's the executive director of A Long Walk Home. And she started that organization working with her sister, who's a rape survivor, tell her story, and worked with her about telling her story.
Okay.
And that's how she, that's the foundation of that organization. But she has a long list of other involvements, including being a consultant for Lifetime's documentary, Surviving R. Kelly, and leading organizations in Chicago, such as Mute R. Kelly and Say Your Name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And she'll be the keynote speaker via Zoom.
The first 50 will be selling tickets soon. This is really more of a save the date announcement now.
Okay.
But we'll be selling tickets soon, and the first 50 tickets will receive a local box of goodies. And in a reusable box that they get to fill with something and then pay it forward to someone else near them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. They'll put Dove paid for
it. I got
boxes.
Some Beanie Babies I could part with. No big deal.
That would be great.
So that's on the 24th, and we got the lights up. And anything else you're doing?
You'll
for
You'll be
month?
Hearing from us via social media and email, and that's about it. I mean, what we're doing right now.
Wonderful.
That's our focus for the month.
What have we left out? Anything or?
I don't think so. I think that we need to just talk about what Kale's up to she's up next to speak.
That's the next show.
That's the next show.
So listeners know, let me get my calendar up here. Now this show will air on the Tuesday, the 6th of October and the 13th. So the Kale show will start on the 20th. And that involves what?
Kale Balazar has maintained a successful practice as a natural therapeutic specialist and Ayurvedic practitioner.
Right. I think that's Indian in origin.
And she is going to be talking about an emotional freedom techniques, which is shortened to be EFT or tapping. And it's an evidence-based self-healing tool. And we'll be offering that in our holistic wellness series.
Oh, nice.
Free of charge, and so she'll be talking about what that offering is and what that entails.
Okay, well, that'll be an interesting interview. And so was this. This was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, no problem. On. Thanks for having me. I love the fact that we renewed this series.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And with nothing else to say, again, thank you. Bye-bye. That was Heidi Jackson, Executive Director of the Dove Project. And Vashon, have a great day.